This video is brought to you thanks to our sponsor, Surfshark, and also thanks to the support of my Patreon. In 2016, two political shocks occurred across the Atlantic. In the United States, Bernie Sanders launched a grassroots campaign that reawakened the American left. And in France, Jean-Luc Mélenchon broke away from traditional party politics to create La France Insoumise, France Unbowed, a bold insurgent movement aimed at rewriting the rules of French politics. By 2022, Mélenchon came very close to reaching the presidential runoff after uniting most of the French left behind a radical program of ecological planning, social justice, and democratic renewal. His message resonated with the youth, working class voters, but also those who felt abandoned by mainstream politics. In 2024, France Unbowed heavily influenced the program of the Popular Front Alliance, which won the legislative elections against the far right, against Macron's party, and against all odds. But France Unbowed is no longer just a French phenomenon. With the publication of Now the People, Mélenchon has taken his fight abroad, touring the US, calling for global alliance of popular movements, and even sitting down with Twitch streamer Hasan Piker, symbol of a generation fed up with traditional party politics and demanding real change. At the same time, the backlash has intensified. A new book, La Meute, so The Pack, is an investigation painting Mélenchon as a danger to the Republic. It is part of a broader wave of attacks that aim less to debate his ideas than to discredit his presence. So, what is it about this man, this movement, that provokes such fascination and such fear? In this video, we'll dive into the rise of France Unbowed, its story, its battles, its strategy, and shortcomings. Because in a time of abundance for the few and scarcity for the many, France may once again be the place where new ideas are tested and the future is imagined. At least that's what my French pride leads me to believe. So my name's Alice, welcome back to my channel. Today we're talking about the men and the movement that changed French politics forever. To understand France Unbowed, we have to start with the life of the man who shaped it, a life of ideas, rebellion, betrayal, and reinvention, the political life of Jean-Luc Mélenchon. But before I do that, I need to talk to you about today's sponsor, Surfshark. You know, as someone who spends hours researching for these videos and for other projects, I need unrestricted access to information. But the truth is, a lot of the internet is geo-blocked. Articles, documentaries, and even certain websites are just out of reach, depending on where you are in the world. That's where Surfshark comes in. Surfshark is a VPN that lets me virtually change my location to anywhere in the world, unlocking content I wouldn't otherwise have access to. It's like giving yourself a digital passport to the global internet. You need to read an article only available in the UK? No problem. You want to watch a documentary that's only available on the Japanese version of a streaming platform? Easy. Surfshark makes it possible. And beyond access, it's also about privacy. Whether I'm on public Wi-Fi while traveling or digging through obscure archives for the videos, Surfshark encrypts my data, keeping my online activity private and secure. It even blocks ads, trackers, malware, and phishing attempts with its clean web feature. Plus, there's also this brilliant feature called multi-hop, which routes your connection through two VPN servers instead of just one. That means double the encryption, double the privacy. It's ideal when I'm handling sensitive sources or doing research I'd rather keep completely anonymous. And the best part, one Surfshark account works on unlimited devices. Laptop, phone, tablet. We love to see this. Everything is covered. So if you're curious like me and want the full internet experience without borders or restrictions, check out Surfshark. Go to surfshark.com/Alice or use code Alice at checkout to get 4 extra months of Surfshark VPN. Stay safe and stay curious. Now let's go back to the video. Jean-Luc Antoine Pierre Mélenchon was born on August 19, 1951 in Tangier, Morocco, in a Franco-Spanish family. At the time, Tangier was an international hub, a crossroads of cultures, languages, and ideas. His childhood was shaped by this spirit of diversity. His mother, a schoolteacher, moved the family to France, first to Normandy, then to Lons-le-Saunier in the Jura region. There, Mélenchon discovered rural France, harsh, sometimes conservative, and marked by social inequalities that would later fuel his political anger. He earned a degree in philosophy in Besançon and worked as a proofreader in the printing industry. Then he briefly tried teaching and eventually turned to politics. Mélenchon got involved early. At 17, he joined the OCI, a Trotskyist organization of Lambertist orientation. There he learned ideological discipline, but also the art of political strategy and debate. In 1976, he joined the Socialist Party, so the center-left party in France, following François Mitterrand's call for left-wing unity. For Mélenchon, it was a way to advance his ideas within the Republican framework. The man quickly became a prominent local figure in Essonne. In 1986, at age 35, he was elected senator, one of the youngest ever. From that moment, he became the Mélenchon we know today. Provocative, combative, and cultured. The real turning point came in 2005. The European Constitutional Treaty, supported by most of the Socialist Party, was firmly rejected by Mélenchon. He campaigned for the no vote alongside former communists and alt-globalists. French people voted against the treaty, yet the Socialist Party continued as if nothing had happened. For Mélenchon, this was the ultimate betrayal. In 2008, he left the Socialist Party and founded the Left Party, Parti de Gauche. A year later, he joined forces with the French Communist Party to launch the Left Front, Le Front de Gauche. The goal was to rebuild a genuine left, independent from the PS, the Socialist Party. His first major challenge was the 2012 presidential election. Jean-Luc Mélenchon embodied a combative left, quoting Victor Hugo and referencing the Paris Commune in powerful speeches. He surprised many with an 11.1% result, and his Bastille rally became a symbol of his rise.
Et où on était passé? Où on était disparu tout ce temps?
However, he failed to build a broader coalition, and in the following legislative elections, he ran against Marine Le Pen in Hénin-Beaumont and lost. It was a personal blow. Then in 2016, Mélenchon embraced a new political adventure on his own. He created La France Insoumise, France Unbound. France Unbound is more a movement than a party. There's no membership cards. It's organized around action groups and it has a strong base online. Its message, anti-establishment and openly radical. So Mélenchon ran again in the 2017 presidential elections. Many described his campaign as spectacular. He spoke to the youth, the working class, and those who had given up on voting. The results? 19.6% of the vote. He overtook the Socialist Party's candidate and became the new face of the radical left. But criticisms also intensified, among them controversies regarding his stances on the police, ambiguities on secularism, and accusations of authoritarianism within the movement.
La République, c'est moi!
Nevertheless, in 2022, Jean-Luc Mélenchon launched his third presidential campaign. At 70 years old, he adopted a calmer, more educational tone. He leaned heavily on his program, L'Avenir en Commun, A Future in Common, refined since 2016. As I said in the introduction, he narrowly missed the runoff, scoring 21.95% of the vote, just a few hundred thousand votes behind Marine Le Pen, who qualified for the second round against Emmanuel Macron. What's clear, though, is that despite his defeat, Mélenchon clearly outpaced all other left-wing candidates.
Une nouvelle page du combat s'ouvre.
Part 2, Mélenchon's vision. Even those who don't agree with Mélenchon recognize his many talents. Political commentators often compare him to a tribune. He's good at public speaking and influence people with his intellect. But beyond the leader, there's a movement, a program, a detailed plan to replace neoliberalism. So let's dive into it, theme by theme. First, an ecology of class struggle. Jean-Luc Mélenchon doesn't talk about ecology in terms of small lifestyle changes. He champions eco-socialism, so a radical approach that ties the environmental crisis to the fight against capitalism and social injustice. He said, quote,
"Ecology without class struggle is like gardening."
In his manifesto, The Future in Common, Mélenchon proposes ecological planning, a form of Green New Deal, but much more ambitious. Kind of like post-war planification which helped rebuild Europe, but green. This message resonated especially with younger generation demanding both climate justice and economic justice. It has, for example, forced the Green Party to adopt a more radical stance too, in order to retain its supporters fed up with the party's green capitalism. This is an example of Françoise Bayrou's ability to shift the Overton window to the left and force other left-wing parties to adapt. You see, your proposition is perceived as radical only if there are no less radical alternatives on the left. So if everyone adopts this radical position, then it's no longer perceived as radical. That's why Mélenchon is very vocal about his disagreements with the centre-left. By publicizing his disagreements, he encourages voters to question all the left-wing parties and demand more of them. By doing so, he progressively shifts the Overton window towards more radical measures and positions Françoise Bayrou as the center of attention and innovation. Speaking of innovation, Mélenchon strongly believes that it is time to profoundly change the French constitution. Just to give you a little bit of context, the French Fifth Republic is the current form of government in France. It was set up in 1958 following a major political crisis linked to the Algerian War. It replaced the less stable Fourth Republic, introducing a much stronger executive branch with expanded powers for the president. This system blends features of both parliamentary and presidential governments, which is why it's called a semi-presidential republic. Charles de Gaulle became its first president and played a key role in shaping how the system functions. Now, Mélenchon doesn't like the Fifth Republic. He sees it as a, quote, presidential monarchy, outdated and undemocratic. And he's not wrong. As an example, the recent Bonn government under Macron bypassed parliament 23 times thanks to Article 49.3. So to put it simply, Bonn's government under Macron said "fuck you" to the parliament 23 times. That's why Mélenchon calls for a sixth republic with a new constitution written by citizens to strengthen democracy. He wants to introduce citizens' referendums, the right to recall elected officials, as well as the end of the president's concentration of power, so the end of that 49.3 article. He says, quote, "We want to move from a presidential monarch to a people's democracy." This institutional revolution, what he calls a citizen revolution, is a defining part of his political identity. It's at the core of his recently translated book, Now the People. Actually, during that press tour, Mélenchon met Twitch streamer Hassan Piker, the very popular socialist Twitch streamer. As he gave him the book, Mélenchon said to Hassan that he was not like the other Americans, that he was a good guy. As most French people, Mélenchon loves to complain about the US. You know, Mélenchon carries with him the long left-wing tradition of peace. That's why he's critical of organizations like NATO and the EU, which he calls the US vassal. Unlike many on the left, Mélenchon has been openly critical of the European Union treaties, especially their neoliberal foundations. He led the No campaign against the EU constitution in 2005. During a presidential debate in 2017, he said that, quote, "Europe must be changed or left." Now, just to make it clear, he doesn't advocate for a Frexit, but insists on reclaiming democratic control over key policies. In fact, Françoise Bayrou has managed to send 9 party members to the European Parliament in the last election. The socialist MEPs have worked on defending the movement's socialist vision and anti-war advocacy as part of the group, the left. On an international level, Mélenchon wants France to reclaim sovereign, non-aligned diplomacy, breaking with the US-led military alliances. He's an advocate of a multilateral world based on UN law, not bloc logic. This stance drew him a lot of criticism. Members of France and Bayrou are regularly questioned about Ukraine as they encourage de-escalation and diplomatic solutions, while other left-wing parties, like the Socialist Party or its new Instagram-friendly version, Place Publique, seems to prefer a military solution.
Collectif européen de 500 milliards.
C'est ce qu'on est en train de discuter. De l'argent européen, Raphaël.
C'est ce qu'on est en train de discuter.
Mélenchon has also often been criticized for his political relationships with South America. He sees it as a region of resistance to neoliberalism, often referring to it as a laboratory for alternative political and economic models. In 2019, he said, quote, "Latin America is the place where people dared to rise. So of course they want to crush them." Some affiliations have been questioned, though. Mélenchon openly supported Hugo Chavez and initially defended Nicolas Maduro, especially when the Venezuelan government was under attack from the US and its allies. However, the crisis in Venezuela worsened with inflation, authoritarianism, political repression, and mass immigration. So Mélenchon came under heavy criticism for being too lenient or ambiguous. Now, what Mélenchon liked about those regimes and leaders is their ability to reclaim their sovereignty against Western imperialism and its modern forms like the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, then led by former French minister Christine Lagarde. She was actually featured in the latest Financial Times Women edition. Let me just get my copy. There she is. We love a neoliberal girl boss. My American viewers might not know her, but my Greek and South American viewers, they know her very well, and they do not have fond memories of her. In Brazil, for example, President Lula was very critical of the IMF, and because one's enemies becomes your best friend, Lula and Mélenchon really got along. Here you can see Mélenchon traveling to Brazil to meet Lula when he was imprisoned. This video is titled Vlog in Brazil with Lula, political prisoner, hashtag stop lawfare. As you can see, the leader of France Unbound films his trip like a typical influencer, which leads me to my next point. Mélenchon revolutionized political campaigning with digital tools and grassroots media. The vlog I have just showed you was posted 5 years ago and has since inspired other politicians, including Emmanuel Macron, to also use that medium. Mélenchon turned to his YouTube channel as an alternative media. In 2019, he said, quote,
"If they won't put you on TV, build your own media.
On it, you find vlogs, video essay type of content, speeches, TV interventions, etc., etc." His goal is to democratize political knowledge and bring leftist ideas into the online mainstream. So Mélenchon is not anti-tech, quite the contrary. His movement France Unbound and its think tank, the La Boétie Institute, devotes a lot of time to understanding the challenges technology poses on people. They want to figure out how the movement can use technology in alignment with their socialist ideals and electoral goals. For example, in 2017, Mélenchon went viral after conducting multiple rallies at the same time by multiplying himself as a hologram. Mélenchon knows how to get the attention of the public and can rely on a community of serial meme makers to ensure virality.
Est-ce que c'est pas le moment de dire que le problème, c'est celui de ceux qui se gavent, c'est celui de ceux qui se gavent, c'est celui de ceux qui se gavent.
France Unbound uses social media to connect with potential voters and counter mischaracterizations from the media. They use memes and trends to game the algorithm and redirect people towards their program, explainers, courses, and conferences. It's popular education for the 21st century, redistributing knowledge using the technologies available. Speaking of redistribution, let's talk about another core feature of France Unbound, redistribution of wealth. Mélenchon brought class politics back to political discourse and also back to left-wing politics, which had become increasingly neoliberal-friendly. As an example, France Unbound forced the 2024 Popular Front Alliance to campaign around their proposition to raise the minimum wage from 1,400 euros a month to 1,600 euros a month. During the last presidential campaigns, Mélenchon reintroduced the idea of tax the rich, an idea so popular it was copied by the center-left party as a way to bring back younger voters who had left. Once again, France Unbound set the standards for the left, and in a moment we'll explain how they managed to do so consistently. But let's go back to the social measures. Raising minimum wage, taxing the rich, freezing inflation on essentials like food and fuel, which is, remember, what started the Yellow Vests movement a few years ago. Mélenchon also fiercely defended public services like schools, hospitals, but also more specialized services like shelters, legal aid, and psychological care for victims of SA. He views those services as the backbone of social justice and national unity. For him, it's a matter of patriotism. He says, quote, "We must take common goods out of the hands of the market." As you can see, the common is at the heart of Mélenchon's politics, and that also includes civil liberties. Mélenchon drew criticism when he tweeted, quote, "The police kill." France Unbarreled stood against police violence during the Yellow Vest movements, during the eco-protests in Sainte-Soline, during the anti-retirement reform protests, or when the young Naël Merzouk was killed by a police officer. His support earned him respect from young activists and marginalized communities who are the main victims of police violence and intimidation. Speaking of marginalized communities, Mélenchon believes that hierarchies between different ethnic and religious communities are deeply harmful. France is not a pure identity, but a nation shaped by constant mixing of languages, cultures, and histories. He borrowed from Caribbean writer Édouard Glissant the concept of creolization and introduced it into French political discourse. Creolization describes the ongoing mixing and fusion of different peoples, languages, traditions, and ways of life to create something new and shared. Mélenchon sees creolization not as a loss of identity, but as a creative process of mutual enrichment. For him, it's the antidote to both assimilation, which erases differences, and communitarism, which isolates identities. In his view, France is an already creolized nation, shaped by centuries of migration, colonial history, and its resulting cultural blending. Politically, creolization reflects Mélenchon's vision of a universalist republic, open to all backgrounds, but rooted in common civic values. In recent years, France Unbarreled has been the only party to take a serious stance against rising Islamophobia, including opposing laws that target the Muslim community specifically, such as the proposed ban on the hijab in sports competitions. Now, all the themes that we have covered, eco-socialism, the Sixth Republic, popular sovereignty, digital politics, redistribution, and civil liberties, are essential to Mélenchon's movement. They reflected the needs and demands of a society hurt by decades of neoliberalism. As I said in the introduction, France Unbarreled was created in 2016. That means that the movement is only 10 years old. In 10 years, France Unbarreled has completely reshaped French left-wing politics. The movement has forced other left-wing parties to clarify their stances on capitalism, war, redistribution, police violence, and racism. In just 10 years, they have imposed themselves as the French left at home and abroad. Now, how did they do so? Well, their success is the result of the nature of the movement. France Unbarreled is what we can call an organic movement. What do we mean by organic? Well, let's use a metaphor here, the fungi. I know it's not very sexy, but you'll see what I mean. Well, France Unbarreled is like a fungi. It exists in a network of social movements and social relations represented as different trees with their own networks. It recognizes that society is built from its organisms. The trees communicate with one another, shape their environment, grow and die, return to the soil, leaving a trace and fueling future life. Gosh, I'm really bringing poetics to politics in this one. The role of France Unbarreled is to be in constant dialogue with old and new social movements, so in dialogue with the different organisms engaged in the formation of what we call society. They believe that ideology shouldn't trickle down onto living beings. It shouldn't be forced onto them with demagogy or military force. Instead, it should emerge from the organisms of society rooted in the real. The role of the movement is to then pick up the messages sent by those organisms to then translate them into a program to be communicated massively through political messaging. That means slogans, rallies, interviews, manifestos. In this whole ecosystem, France Unbarreled are like social engineers. They analyze, intellectualize the messages they receive from society with the help of researchers in their think tank, La Boétie, in order to produce the most compelling politics possible. By adopting this organic view of society, France Unbarreled is capable of anticipating where the world is heading. Mélenchon is known for bringing topics to public discourse far before they become politically relevant. I remember attending one of his rallies a few years ago, and instead of commenting on his opponents' postures and comments like most politicians do, Mélenchon talked about water. War. Access to water. The politics of water. And I know the topic of water doesn't seem that relevant, but look at what's going on in the world right now. Look at the situation in India and Pakistan. Look at this headline, quote, "India to stop water flowing across international borders," Modi says. Look at those recent reports highlighting how contaminated the water we drink is. Mélenchon balances political drama with popular education. He knows how to get the attention of voters with catchy slogans and provocative language, but ultimately he wants them to elevate their consciousness, to understand how society works. Mélenchon challenges people to look beyond the usual good versus evil narrative. He believes in people's ability to see through the bias, the propaganda, to make their own enlightened opinion. As a human being, as a politician, Mélenchon is known for having a strong character, which has led him to do and say things that are clearly not acceptable. He's the product of the French Fifth Republic, a strong, popular figure around which people rally in the hope of a better future. That's why, quoi qu'on pense de Mélenchon, as the French say, whatever one thinks of him, we can agree that Mélenchon is not an anomaly of history, but the very product of it. The man has risen on the French political scene as people across the world rise up against a system that no longer delivers dignity, stability, or hope. Neoliberalism is collapsing under the weight of its own contradictions, and in its place, two paths are emerging. Reactionary violence or democratic transformation. As liberal elites retreat from their own promises of progress, many cling to power through force, not consent. Militarization replaces dialogue, but millions are refusing this descent. For those who still believe in a future of peace, justice, and abundance for the many, not the few, socialism is no longer a dream. It is a necessity. Disillusioned with compromise, betrayed by decades of social democracy that prioritized market over people, they are no longer willing to settle. Whether it's Democrats in the US, Labour in the UK, or the Socialist Party in France, the old center is breaking. Fear of the far right once kept people loyal to the status quo, and in some places, it still does. But that spell is fading. A new generation is no longer choosing between lesser evils. They are building something new. Together, from the bottom up, France and Bald is one attempt at doing that. It's certainly not perfect, but it's a robust proposition, a breath of fresh air in the chaos of scarcity, decline, and despair. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, the conversation continues in the comments section. Don't forget to like, to subscribe, if it's not already done. Before I end the video, I would like to say thank you to our sponsor, Surfshark, and also thank you to my patrons. Thank you for their support. Big thank you in particular to top-tier patrons, Jacob, Richard Austin, Ron Wing, Fred, Hong Jing Hong, Jean-Louis Agenot, George J. Kweme, Wolf Kratz, Patrick Button, Devish Mohan Mina, Jeff Lee, Yilan, Taya Matin, Nick, Brandon, Ujwal, Jem Siddle, Pablo, Patrick Riley, Boris, Ria, Corey G, Tristan, Christopher France, Christopher A. Butler, Jan, Donage, Alex, Manuel, and Perry. And thank you to the other ones who prefer to stay anonymous. That's it. I'll see you very soon. Salut!